Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin A.C. Potter's beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I'm in Baltimore, beginning of a very long, very humid trip. Padres, Orioles, next 3 days. Padres won a series. That was a change. They're hitting. That's a change. Couple guys hitting. That's a change. Ryan, where would you like to start?
I'd like to start by talking about the Padres' two superstars. Number one, Fernando Tatis Jr. The reason why the Padres won a series is because Fernando Tatis Jr. hit an actual home run. This was a walk-off job that helped them beat the Reds on Wednesday, take that series 2-1. Kevin, he's hitting a lot better lately, but I know that the narrative is home runs and power, and we finally saw a home run here on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, you're right. Like it's been this weird thing. Do we include Fernando Tatis Jr. Among the disappointing stars when over the last 20 some odd games, he's led major leagues in batting average? His slug has been better even without the home run. You know, I mean, like the guy's contributing and he's at the top of the order. That's great. But golly, where's the slug? Where are the big moments? And he provided one on Wednesday. That was huge. I think the answer is that you don't include him in the disappointing stars. You just say, okay, this is how he's going. And you want more slug. He keeps working toward more slug. But like you take the guy who's hitting 380 over the last 20 games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for him, Kevin, this is the dumbest question I'll ask you all season, I promise.
Oh, Ryan, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Get recording going because I'm sure that this will be the dumbest one. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Is this a weight off his shoulders hitting? I mean, I know hitting the first one was. Is hitting the second one, or is it more the context of he won them a game at home? And maybe now people can stop asking him about the home runs.
Hey, I wouldn't call that dumb at all. Did you see how he ran around the bases? You know, like now there, I know guys do that, like, but like that felt like a big weight, not just the second homer. I would say moreover the moment coming through it, in the instant that it went over, like, because that was 2 inches, 5 inches, whatever, from being another, oh, hard hit double, you know, right. Like they, and then it's like, okay, good. But then they need another hit. Right. And so, like, he won it on a big Fernando Tatis Jr. moment. And I think that that is not a dumb question at all. I think that's a really a big deal. Now, does this mean he's hot? Does this mean that, you know, he's going to hit a bunch of home runs? No, it absolutely does not. Don't know.
Kevin, from one superstar to another, to me, the most interesting story I've read in a very long time ran in today's Union Tribune. It's about Manny Machado and his struggles. And you explain a little bit of the reason why he looks like he's been late on fastballs this year. And without getting too terribly dorky, because this is nominally a 25-minute long show, what's been the issue there and your conversation with Manny? What did we learn?
Well, over the course of time, and once it becomes obvious to someone like me, that it's the body that's late. It's you know, getting around on the ball and you can see it. Then it's like, okay, like this isn't that he's, you know, 30, about to be 34. This isn't that Manny's falling off. There's something wrong mechanically. And then you talk to people, you find out things, you go to Manny and you say, Manny, in the offseason, you went and worked with someone. And once Manny gives you about a minute of like, he's not going to answer you, he understands that you know what you're saying and he acknowledges, yes, he went and worked with Aaron Judge's guy, Richard Shank, known as Teacher Man on social media. Obviously, Aaron Judge, pretty good player. The idea when you're working with him is basically hit off one leg, stay back, and then boom, uncoil, boom, go. And okay, and maybe that's good in the lab. Obviously, it's worked for Aaron Judge. Maybe it's worked for some other people. It has not worked for other people. And with Manny, it just kind of messed him up. Now, you can take a look at some of these, and I'm positive that Mr. Shank could take a look at some at-bats or spring training at-bats or what have you and go, look how good he looks here. Okay, now go out and face a guy with 5 pitches, 6 pitches, 7 pitches, 8 pitches, 104 miles an hour. Oh, then an 89-mile-an-hour slider. Obviously, he's not facing Mason Miller, but anyway, you know, something like that, and it's a whole different deal. And so here's the thing. You get into bad habits, that's what you start doing. You think that's the way to go. And then you realize it's not. And then in real time, by in real time, I mean, while the season's going on, you have to fix it. And that's what Manny's doing. And it's been a struggle. And he's been what he calls a click away for a while. And maybe it'll happen any moment. But I think that the good news is that he's not old. I mean, he's getting there, but he's not old. That's not why he's late on these balls. And so I think that there's a real positive in there. And then also, I think it should be noted, the guy went and tried to do something. You know, Tiger Woods was number one in the world. He changed his swing. Like, the best are always looking for something to get better.
Yeah, no, you're right. To me, it's really interesting. It's a fascinating study of the human mind and human habits, right? Manny Machado hit a certain way for most of his pro career, decides to go tweak something this offseason. Now he can't get back to the way he did things forever. I find that very interesting. And if I were a professional athlete, it would drive me absolutely insane, right? That you can't just go back to doing what you used to do.
Well, yeah.
You have to teach yourself again, right?
The most complicated thing there is, right, is hitting too. But pitchers talk about it. I bet you, you know, I never talked mechanics necessarily with football players, but, you know, I don't know if Steph Curry, you know, finds his mechanics off, but this is a highly technical game. Yep.
We'll talk about like golf, right? Golf swing's a perfect example there. You know, you're right. You could try to do something, and then when you try to go back to the way you used to do it, maybe you forgot how you used to do it forever too. That must be
hard. And this is something, look, you can't like write everything in one story and, you know, and it's been the age old thing, right? Which is harder, golf or baseball? Well, no one's throwing a golf ball at you. It's sitting still, right? Well, now more velocity, more spin, more different pitches. Like, so while you're trying to fix you, you're trying to react to them. I mean, it is, I say it all the time. I don't know how any of them do it.
Right. Manny Machado returns to Baltimore. I guess we should bring that up. The Padres are in Baltimore to face the Orioles in the 3-game series that begins tonight at 4:05. Kevin, before we get into the Orioles and into what this series might mean, I'd like to talk about Samad Taylor a little bit. To me, the story of the last week with the San Diego Padres outside of Tatis hitting has been Samad Taylor. A little bit of a journeyman guy. Doesn't jump off the page at you when you look at him. He's not a particularly big guy. He has been absolutely a spark plug for this club, especially in that series against the Reds. What does he bring to the roster here?
Well, you know, in the first, last three starts, he started 4 games in a row. The last three starts, production. But moreover, long-term and kind of big picture, energy, speed, maybe a little more, you know, defense than say, Nick Castellanos. So just, that's what he was brought in to do. And it's what he's doing. I think he played 38 games. I think it was 7 games over the last 2 seasons in the major leagues for the Mariners. I think it was 31 games for the Royals in 2023. So this is the 4th year in a row that he's had a little taste. I won't even call it a cup of coffee. Maybe that Royals was a cup of coffee. The last two have been like, smell of the aroma of coffee, but he wasn't allowed to taste it. Get back to the minors, kid. And I've loved him since spring training. I mean that as like what he's doing now is what you felt was the potential he could bring to the Padres. Was he going to do it? Did I have a problem with him being left off the roster? No. I mean, you had to go with, and we'll talk about it, I guess, a little bit, but you had to go with Bryce Johnson at the start of spring. You couldn't do Jace Bowen. You couldn't do Samad Taylor because Bryce Johnson improved it for you and he had a good spring. But, like, you know, Samad Taylor brings a lot. I don't want to get carried away here. There's a reason he hasn't been in the majors, you know, but he brings a lot for what he is. And I've heard from a lot of fans, and this it's always interesting to get this perspective. He kind of rejuvenated the season for them. Like, this team has been boring for about the better part of 3 weeks, maybe more than that. And when you don't score, you're boring, right? But they also were kind of making some mistakes, and it wasn't a good brand of baseball. And they basically acknowledged that to some extent by promoting Jace Bowen and Samad Taylor. So, and then Will Wagner. So I think that's what those guys and Samad in particular at this point bring.
Yep. I was at the game Monday night. And what did Samad Taylor do? Well, he threw a guy out at home. he made a leaping catch at the wall. I don't know that that would have been a home run robbery, but at least it was a double robbery. He had a bunt for a base hit, and then he had a backbreaking single to make it, I think it was a four-run game heading into the ninth. Not bad for a guy who, you know, hadn't played much in the big leagues. And to me, there's a cascading effect here, right? Samad Taylor and then Will Wagner have both impressed so much in very short bursts here that the Padres made a roster move today that was perhaps inevitable, but surprising to me nonetheless. Bryce Johnson has been designated for assignment. Kevin, what does this mean for sort of the structure of their outfield going forward, and why did they make this move?
Well, I think it comes down to, like, you could say Will Wagner came up for Xander Bogaerts 3 days ago because Xander went on the paternity list. Xander's coming back. Generally, the guy who came up goes back. Hey, Will Wagner, left-handed bat, good at bats, given some production. You knew he wasn't going down. You knew Samad Taylor wasn't going down. Was it going to be Jace Bowen, right-handed bat, Bryce Johnson, switch hitter who's done it for you in the past? You've decided that Jace Bowen does have some pop, and Jace Bowen brings you essentially, except for being able to switch sides of the plate, the same thing Bryce Johnson does. Bryce Johnson had his shot, and Bryce Johnson's the guy who goes. And look, that's what all of these guys pretty much are, is a cascading circumstances that lead to you being the guy who's the odd man out. That's who these guys are. That's who Bryce Johnson is. He could have been the one to go if Nick Castellanos wasn't ready to go in Philadelphia a couple of weeks ago. He could have been the one to go. There was another move that was made. But eventually it was going to be Bryce Johnson. He brought a lot. Again, a lot. You have to go relative, right? You got guys in bunches. Is Manny Machado bringing a lot? That's a big different bunch. Is Bryce Johnson bringing a lot down here in a bottom bunch? Yes, Bryce Johnson brought a lot. He wasn't anymore, and they have guys that are more dynamic that they kept.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, you can't ask for Bryce Johnson to do a whole lot more than he's done for them the last couple of years. He hit over 300 last year. I believe he started a playoff game after Ramon Laureano got hurt. But again, his skill set is such that, you know, there are a lot of pinch runners and fourth outfielders out there.
Very good point. And that's basically, you could just say that. I don't know if it changes if Bryce Johnson gets, he had a couple starts. If he gets multiple hits in both of those, is he DFA'd? It's funny because like the moment can't dictate what you're thinking about for your team in the future. But like, yeah, you said it exactly.
Right. Why Bryce Johnson and not say Jace Bowen here? Jace Bowen has not exactly impressed, I don't think, in his week on the roster, week and a half on the roster. Why that move, do you think?
Well, it's you know, it's interesting. I get, I absolutely get that. I would even say that I was wondering that myself a couple days ago as I was looking ahead to this move, right? Mm-hmm. And then I watched him. I watched a little bit of things of him doing in the outfield. And okay, so that checks the Bryce Johnson box. He almost was it going to be win a game or was it going to be tie a game against the Reds and their right fielder made a sliding catch. Yeah. So he you know, that would have made how you thought of him's last few days better. And then there's the thing I alluded to is he's got some pop in his bat that Bryce Johnson doesn't. And right. So there you have it.
Right. To me, Will Wagner's an interesting piece. He came up DH two nights in a row, got a bunch of hits, is somebody who I think that they like a lot. A telling quote after that game came from Craig Stanton, where he said, you know, a very Jake Cronenworth at bat. And when we think of Will Wagner, this is how I'm going to start thinking of him now, as sort of Jake Cronenworth Jr. He can play all over. He's a left-handed bat. He's a guy who, when he's going right, can give you a very good professional at bat. Do you see him taking sort of the super sub role here until at least Jake Cronenworth's ready to come back?
Yeah. Like, look, he was whatever it was, 3 for 15, almost all no starts, all as a pinch hitter or a defensive replacement. I think it was like 17 plate appearances in 15 games. Like, that's tough to do. And so you're like, well, they traded this guy for that catcher to the Blue Jays. And sure, you know how I am. The name is escaping me.
But Brandon Valenzuela.
He's playing for the Blue Jays and doing well right now. Right. Okay, fine. We evaluate trades every year. Padres were high on Will Wagner. It's awful tough for Will Wagner to have performed last year. Now, I'm not saying He's the guy who's never going to strike out as he has of these last couple of games, or he's the guy who's going to get on base twice, but it is a professional at bat. And he has looked these last two games getting an actual shot, like the guy the Padres told me that they were getting when they traded for him, kind of that like extra trade last year at the trade deadline. He's okay defensively. So, and he plays infield. So yeah, could he get a start here and there? I think Sun Mung Song is starting to hit a little bit. There's times you go, can this guy play in the major leagues? Can this guy hit in the major leagues? And then, you know, he gets a hit. I think it's hilarious that every one of his hits on a fastball that's 95 miles an hour or harder has at least hit off of an infielder. He had one ball that went to the outfield and it hit off the pitcher. The others have all been infield singles. I think he has four or five hits off of fastballs 95 miles an hour or harder. And why do I point that out? Because he's coming from the KBO where the average fastball is like 91 miles an hour. I think Sun Mung Song, also a left-handed hitter, is getting better. So it's not like you're going, oh, cool, now Will Wagner can fill in at second until Jake Cronenworth comes back. Because first off, Tatis is filling in a second. So I don't know exactly what his role is right now. Miguel Andujar, they got to nurse that hamstring. And, you know, he hasn't been as hot. So is that a platoon situation at DH? That could be it. But yeah, you pointed out that quote from Stammen, and that was a somewhat telling quote. And it's interesting because I've been thinking the last couple days before that, like, I know it's weird to say considering, you know, probably playing concussed, right? He was terrible at the plate. When I say Jake Cronenworth, I mean the kind of Jake Cronenworth who finished last year, who for a good portion of his career gives you a really good at bat. And a lot of times it will result in him getting on base over a period of time, very streaky, but like a good at bat. They were missing that 3-4 times a night in the 7-8 hole. And then Craig said that, and I'm like, yeah, I can see that. Absolutely. So I think that Wagner has a place on this team. You knew he wasn't going to be the guy swapped out when Bogarts came back.
Yeah, not the way he was hitting, for sure. And again, this is a guy who has some versatility. He plays some first, plays some second, plays some third, a little bit of left. Adds an infielder to a team that probably was an infielder short, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, obviously Tatis is your second baseman now. He doesn't play shortstop, but that allows, if he were to go in, Tatis were to be in right, you'd move, you know, Sung Mung could move over to short. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were surviving and they had that versatility, and then if someone got injured, they could fill in. But yes, this gives them their extra infielder that they did not have.
You just said something that perked my ears up. Tatis is your second baseman now. Is he going to play second base every day? Is this the idea?
I mean, Sun Mung Song will be in there maybe against some righties that they feel like he can handle. Look, Xander's back. So, yeah, like that's been the thing. He basically has. Like, he basically has. He's now started 30 games there. If you were to list like a baseball reference, I got to look at it and see what they do. But, you know, they list the 10 guys, the offensive positions, or the nine offensive positions. And they put the guy there who started the most at that spot. Mm-hmm. Well, Tatis has started the most at right and the most at second. So, I'm not sure how they list that. He's your second baseman. Right. Who can play right field? It's going to screw him for the gold glove.
Yeah, platinum glove. Do the moves of the last week, and again, sometimes these all run together, but, you know, they've called up two new outfielders in both Bowen and Taylor. They've called up Will Wagner. There's been some movement here. Does this change their shopping list as they head into trade deadline time?
I would say not, unless Samad Taylor continues to hit like this.
Right.
You know, and you've got some sort of incredible lightning in a bottle. Samad Taylor is one of the stories of the season for the league wide. Then, it changes their shopping list. And you know what else? They were weighing, do we need to go out right now and get ourselves a fringy left fielder? That's who's available now.
Tommy Pham. Right.
There's too many buyers right now, because that means teams in contention. So there wasn't going to be a top shelf. There wasn't going to be a Ramon Laureano. It was top shelf at the trade deadline last year. Available now. If you felt like you needed someone now, they were going to have to find a way to trade for a mid-level, just, gosh, this guy, come in, please give us some offense from an outfield position. Well, they don't have to do that now.
Right.
Long-term, they are looking for better than what these guys offer. So it's going to be up to Samad Taylor to continue to go out and hit, 300 and do all the other things.
Right. And as we look beyond this year, keep in mind, Ramon Laureano has probably played his last game as a Padre. Fernando Tatis Jr. can play second base. This leaves you at least the opportunity for filling two outfield spots, whether that's internally or with a trade.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. Who the heck knows? I'll take 30 seconds. Go beyond this year. Let's say that they believe, because there are people that believe in the league and in the organization, that Tatis's ascension at the plate has coincided with his second base, and it's not a coincidence because he loves playing the infield. Let's say they're going to make Tatis a second baseman. Where does Jake Cronenworth play? Is he your first baseman? Is he your left fielder? I mean, I'm just saying, like, this is fascinating going forward. Is Jake Cronenworth finally traded? How did his being hurt impact him being traded? There's a bunch of stuff going forward that'll be really interesting.
Right, to say nothing of Gavin Sheets, right? Is Gavin Sheets your first baseman? Is Gavin Sheets your left fielder? If they need a left fielder, Gavin Sheets can play some left. I mean, he'll knock a wall over in doing it, but he can play some left field. Can he DH? I mean, there's so many moving parts here when you look beyond this year. Lots to think about.
Right. And Gavin also could leave. So there's that.
Yeah, no, you're right. Real quick, let's get into the pitching matchups here.
It's a year later. So Gavin's here for another year as long as they want him here. So sorry.
Right. Padres, a three-game series against the Orioles. Let's go through the pitching here. Griffin Canning tonight, 0-4 with a 6.34 ERA, but pitched well against the Mets in his last outing. He got a no decision, allowed three hits and two walks in five innings on Saturday. Maybe it's the red contacts. He's going up against Shane Baz. Was supposed to be their big pitching acquisition during the offseason. Has struggled a little bit. He's 3-6 with a 4.09 ERA. Kevin, do we make anything of Griffin Canning's last outing?
I make a lot of it in terms of, like, that guy is giving you, I think it was since the, I'm pretty sure it was since the debacle in Milwaukee, he's giving you five. Mm-hmm. And he's turned in a quality start since then. And, like, yeah, like, Griffin Canning is kind of what you got him for at this point, I think. So right. I think, yeah, I mean, you go, okay, yeah, Griffin Canning could give us six tonight. Or Griffin County can get a bus five and keep us in the game.
Makes sense. Saturday, you got Randy Vasquez really looking to bounce back. Jeff Sanders had a nice note about him the other day. And Yu Darvish helping and what Vasquez needs to do. He's given up too many home runs. He's walked too many guys. He's not striking out enough guys. His ERA has ballooned, air quotes, to 3.63 because his ERA over his last four starts is over six. He's going up against Orioles righty Trey Gibson, who is a rookie. He's an injury fill-in for Chris Bassett, who is hurt. Big start for Randy Vasquez here, Kevin?
I think so. It has been the case for a little while. And yes, it was an interesting note by Jeff. Randy pretty down after his last start, I think. And he's looking like the old, what was your favorite? What did you love? I'll let you say it. What was, and he's not doing so much of it anymore, but what's your favorite nickname for Randy?
Strandy Vasquez.
Right. A product of him putting so many people on base. Yep. And look, Randy's got the stuff. Randy has, at least now acceptable velo. Mm-hmm. Like, Randy's got to be confident out there and go after guys.
Right. Mark, this is something I didn't think I'd be saying a month ago, Kevin. I'm really looking forward to watching Walker Buehler pitch on Sunday. 3-3, got the ERA down to 4.3. Over his last three starts, he's got a 2.25 ERA. He's figuring it out. I think I was texting you Monday from the Padres-Reds game. He's touching 96, 97 when he's pitching now. This is much more in line with the Walker Buehler that we knew from his Dodgers time than maybe what I thought they were getting. I didn't think he could throw that hard anymore. And he seems to be really working into it. And carving out a nice niche as a different kind of pitcher.
Yeah, it was interesting that he said after that game, because he did get up there on Monday, but he was not up there as consistently as he was in his previous start, where he's above 96 quite a bit, that he said that him not being as sharp, he only went 4 2/3. He made a reference to that maybe that was a little bit to be expected given having thrown so hard so often the start before. He's still building up. He's, you know, but I'm with you. I look forward to every one of his starts. I love his attitude. I love it's very Mike Schilt thing to be big on, but his body language out there, I do think that's important with a starting pitcher. I really enjoy in hand, and Padres fans should, because for the 1.5 million plus, he's probably gonna earn the, I think it's 2.5 incentives. For that money, he's doing everything the Padres could have hoped.
Yep, absolutely right. And then he's going up against the pride of Carlsbad High on Sunday, the Orioles veteran left-hander, Trevor Rogers. Interesting factoid here, he's pitched 10 1/3 innings against his hometown team and has allowed, he's allowed one run in 10-plus innings against the Padres. Not bad for a guy facing his hometown club.
And who hasn't done this great against everybody else or most other people. So very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every one of our episodes, and I'll be quick on this one. Where does Oriole Park at Camden Yards rank for you on the list of your favorite ballparks in baseball?
You know, it's still pretty awesome. They haven't done a whole lot to make it great, to update it. You know, Petco Park, one of the great things that people should appreciate is how much they have taken care of that park. But this is still pretty awesome. It's the original of the retro, really. It's the granddaddy of the, let's get back to, you know, the old style ballpark, but make it new. I do like it. I don't know. It's in my top 10. It's very cool.
Yeah. If you're a Padre fan and you find yourself in Baltimore, go to a game. When I went there for the first time, you could walk around and see some Petco Park DNA sprinkled throughout, right? Just in terms of, oh, yeah, the warehouse in right field, it's the Western Metal Building in left. Larry Lucchino came from where? Oh, the Baltimore Orioles, where he built that stadium. Walking around, to me, it's the most like Petco, I think, of any major league ballpark I've ever been to.
I think that's fair. Obviously, you know, preceded it by 10 years, I think, is what it was. But like I said, it's the one that sort of, the model, and certainly the model of how to get it built. And I still very much enjoy it.
Yeah, it's like Petco's older, less attractive brother. How about that?
It has some history here too. So I think they're really good fans. They'll be the, that will also be the only fans outside of San Diego to cheer for Manny. They love him here. And so, loving it.
And you get to see the dude in the outfield with the super soaker, the bird bath guy. You get to see him. That's cool.
Can't wait. I am looking forward. I'm going to take a walk over there right now. You can see me packing up.
Sounds good. All right, Kevin, we'll let you go. Padres Orioles 3-game series at Camden Yards starting this afternoon Pacific time. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.